So let's just be still. I'm going to light the candle and give us a call to worship. Let's just be still and remember that no matter... Oh, first technical hitch. No matter where we are worshipping, whether we're here present, whether we're watching via video, we are in the presence of God to worship God, to celebrate God's love for us. Listen, God is calling. Can you hear it? Calling us to turn away from self-interest, to put down the things that distract us, to take up our cross and follow. Can you hear it? Creator God, you have created all things good. Nothing is beyond your reach or your redemption. You are the God of the whole universe, of all of creation, and yet you are mindful of us. You call on us to reveal your presence and to speak of your faithfulness from generation to generation. Wherever we gather, you are there. You were there before we arrived, and you will be there when we leave. Your presence makes every space a sacred space. You delight in our praise and rejoice in all your people who find a way to acknowledge your presence in our world and in our lives. May our worship bring us back to you and increase our awareness of your beating heart at the center of life, calming our fears and restoring our souls. Knowing ourselves beloved of God, united with all your creatures in heaven and on earth, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And although we can't sing, we're going to sing in our hearts. We're going to sing, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord," and I'm going to do my very best not to sing, because I find it very, very hard, and I'm sure you feel the same. I think humming behind our masks is allowed. But let's just be still in God's presence and share in this music and words together.
Splendor, he is crowned.
chosen hymns that hopefully will be part of our prayer time. As we don't sing them, the words of hymns are often wonderful to assist us in prayer. And that one to me is one that when I find words don't come to me, that song brings prayer and words to God to mind. So let us be still in God's presence. And we're going now to the psalm for today, and I've just taken a little diversion. I'm following the Scottish lectionary as opposed to ours because I preferred the psalm and the Old Testament reading, so forgive me for that, but it worked better for me. So we have Psalm 105, and what we're going to do is we've got a picture and some words that are going to come up on the screen, and then I'm just going to give you something to think about, a little pause, and then for us to quietly think about the things that we want to talk to God about before we go on to the next part of the psalm. So I'm using it really as a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. So the first picture, there we are. So let's say together, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Is there a nation that is on your heart, a place where you would like to see God's name proclaimed? Let's be still and mention these to God in our hearts. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. What are some of God's wonderful acts? Can you think of one to mention as praise to him? Let us mention these to God in our hearts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Do you know someone who is seeking God at the moment? Someone who you would love to see rejoicing? Let us mention them to God in our hearts. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Is there a situation where you need God's strength? Where you need to remember to look to the Lord for help? Let us mention these to God in our hearts. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has pronounced. Can you remember a miracle that God has done in your own life or in history? Let us mention these to God in our hearts. And as we say the last verse together to one another, reminding each other that we are chosen servants. You are servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. Amen. And our prayer has a response. I'm sorry, I don't have the words on the slide, but it's very straightforward. I'm going to say the words, come, Lord Jesus, and I would like you to respond, walk with us. When we find it hard to love, come, Lord Jesus, walk with us. When we find it hard to give, Come, Lord Jesus, walk with us. When we find it hard to live, come, Lord Jesus, walk with us. Walk with us on stony paths that hurt our feet. Come, Lord Jesus, walk with us. Walk with us up steep and breathless hills. Come, Lord Jesus, walk with us. Walk with us through soaking rain and chilling wind. Come, Lord Jesus, walk with us. And when we cannot walk, when too tired, too hurt, too lost, too sad to even try, stay with us a while until our courage returns, our hearts are healed, and in your love our spirits lifted, that we may continue our journey with you. Come, Lord Jesus, walk with us. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And our first Bible reading is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And I'm specifically reading from the Revised Standard Version, and I will tell you why as I reflect on this. Moses at the burning bush. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So a short reflection on that reading. I chose to read the Revised Standard Version because last week I was, I'm doing a very short course that my own church has asked me to do, and we start each Tuesday evening with a Bible study. And it happened to be, and that's why I had to choose the Scottish lectionary, it happened to be Moses and the Burning Bush. And we were asked I think we read it three times, once quietly on our own and then twice together. And we were asked to notice something that we hadn't noticed before or that God was speaking to us from that reading. Now, for those of you that know, I think most of you do, I work with children and young people. So the story of the burning bush is one that is amazing to talk to children about. God's presence speaking from a burning bush is a bit of awe and wonder that we all would be shocked by, amazed by, fearful of, so many different emotions that we would see. But actually, the wording in this translation, the thing that leapt out of the page that I'd never noticed before, because of the translation, it says, I will turn aside and see this great sight. I've never noticed that before. I never noticed that Moses made an absolute turn towards that burning bush. How many of us might have run away? I think I probably would if I saw a bush on fire. But actually, Moses made a conscious decision. I will turn aside and see this great sight. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, he called to Moses out of that bush. Would he have called to Moses if Moses had been running in the other direction? I wonder. A specific action made by Moses. He could have walked by, but he made this action and God spoke. So a reflection of Moses. I could have walked by. It was a strange sight, to be sure. But could I have walked past, averted my eyes and focused on the sheep? Silly animals, but a full-time job. A wife, a family, a job. I had no need to notice anything out of the ordinary. Life was full. Life was good. Life was all I wanted it to be. And yet, I looked. A bush, burning and yet not consumed by the flame. I was puzzled, intrigued, curious. All that, and yes, more. It's if I was drawn. I was called. I was pulled. I was invited. It was not my initiative, but that of something speaking to a yearning I did not know I had. That of something enfolding a desire so deep it was hidden from me. That of something, of someone, speaking in tones that resonated, touched chords in me, that vibrated with the harmony of the heavens, calling the deepest within to the utterly beyond. The bush was burning. All that was needed of me was to notice and not walk by, to notice and allow the thing that I had never seen before to touch my curiosity, to create an attraction that was easier to act on than to ignore. And once attracted, then I knew this was not about the burning bush. This was not an interruption to a day going about my daily business, not an aside. God had stepped into the ordinariness of a day and enticed me to step into the extraordinary. In the wideness of the wilderness, God marked out a sanctuary, a holy ground, onto which he invited me to stand, barefoot against bare sand, so that my body should know in time my soul's encounter with the eternal. God sanctifying human time and space, a bush burning. On such a small thing did the changing of history depend. A small thing, a strange thing, and I could have walked by, but I did not. I took off my shoes and took the risk of standing on that holy ground. A mortal man, I dared to speak with the immortal and omnipotent God of my ancestors, and my God transformed me. History knows my name because God called it first. An encounter, not in a palace or temple, not between God and the great and the good, but an encounter next to a bush between God and me. A man slow in speech, unaware of my destiny. An encounter such as can happen in this place, where God enters the ordinary to encounter his people. An amazing invitation from a burning bush. The burning bush, what's it all about? Not just an awe-inspiring encounter, but a call, God's invitation that takes on a command to take a job, to join with God in God's work of creating, liberating, and accompanying us. God does that a lot. If we think of Abraham, Samuel, Jonah, Isaiah, Mary, Peter, Paul, so many people called from the ordinary, called to say yes. Most of us, like Moses, we're minding our own business, tending our sheep. We're perhaps hiding our secrets and hidden hopes. Perhaps we're hoping we'll go by without being noticed, not listening for that call to us. But until we can't ignore it anymore, God breaks into our lives with something. Something wonderful, something mysterious, something that we can't ignore, and stirs up something deep in our hearts. God's call on us, our own small part to play. It may be that God will do the miracles and we just stand there. But something tugs us to look at the burning bush. Something tugs us to know that God calls us to something more. So we're called to take off our shoes, listen to the voice. You can't ignore it, and the bush won't be consumed. You might as well listen. See what God is doing in the world, or what God needs to be doing, and what you care about most. What a great vision or little detail do you see that tugs at your heart? What calls you? And we're going to listen now. We're going to listen to a song which speaks deep into my heart whenever I hear it. And it made me think of Moses. It's "We Bow Down." So let's just imagine that we are standing or sitting on holy ground, that we've taken off our shoes, and that we're resting in God's presence.
You are Lord.
I hadn't mentioned the cards that I've given you, but you may see that there is a burning bush and there is an empty flame underneath. This is for you to take away to reflect. And we're going to use, with our second reading, we're going to use the second picture, which is a cross, which is made up of people. And I just have left empty spaces in a cross and a flame for your own reflection, perhaps to note down a word or something that speaks to you about God calling us. He called Moses from a burning bush, and we're going to hear how he spoke to the disciples now in our next reading. I'm going to actually link to this reading, and I'm going to go straight on to the reading of the gospel is Matthew 16, and it's Matthew 16, chapter 21 to 28. But I'm going to go straight into a response to this reading by reading from Romans chapter 12, 9 to 12. It is the reading that accompanies this one on the Sunday, but the two of them, and hopefully you will see, fit together rather well. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "that this will ever happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you, I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Imagine that Peter asked the question, "How do we take up our cross and follow you?" Romans chapter 12. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into your home. Ask God to bless everyone who mistreats you. Ask him to bless them and not to curse them. When others are happy, be happy with them. And when they are sad, be sad. Be friendly with everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you are smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you, but try to earn the respect of others and do your best to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take revenge. In the scriptures, the Lord says, "I am the one to take revenge and pay them back." The scripture also say, "If your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them something to drink. This will be the same as piling burning coals on their heads. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good." So perhaps Paul to the Romans was writing the answer to Peter's question, how do I take up my cross and follow you? So a short reflection on that reading, or on both readings really. Imagine telling one of your friends that they are a stumbling block or an obstacle. That's just what Jesus did to Peter. Jesus wasn't really being rude to Peter, although it might have seemed so. Jesus knew that he was going to face his own death on a cross. So when Peter said, "It won't happen," that wasn't really that helpful to Jesus. Peter just wanted to speak as a friend who was horrified that Jesus could think he was going to be killed. But Jesus' response to Peter and to us, "You must forget about yourselves and take up your cross and follow me." To follow Jesus means forgetting about ourselves and putting God first. So thinking about the difficult time that we've been in, the difficult time that we continue to face, churches with chairs set 2 meters apart, having to wear face masks, being challenged about children going back to school, about whether we can work, whether we actually have a job or not, so many challenges. And actually, we've had to rethink so many things. Perhaps we've had time to pause, thinking about how we think about creation and the environment, reflecting on what it means to have a work-life balance, engaging with the values which underpin our behaviour, and in some, rediscovering faith in God. When we face such a time of disruption as we have just done, it gives us an opportunity to think again, to reframe what we're doing and to reconnect with the things that really matter to us, the things that are important, that life is all about. And I don't know about you, but I found myself rejoicing in the small things instead of thinking about the big things, finding things to say thank you for in a day that feels like it doesn't have many things. It's surprising what small things can actually make you smile. Jesus was telling the disciples, "I want you to notice others. I want you to be characterized by generosity, relationship, and self-sacrifice, not by greed, protection, and self-interest." These realities are even more pressing in this present time as we move into a time when economic stability is likely to suffer. Disruption to work, disruption to school, disruption to life. And it's how we respond. How do we take up our cross and follow Jesus? Jesus describes this in a way that we should be loving and supportive. The selfless generosity which marked out the life of the early church perhaps is foundational for us. So let's think a little bit about that passage in Romans. And I've put some words, I know it's not going to be easy for everyone to see, but I've actually put some words, perhaps you'll notice they wander out, on this cross, imagining that we have to take up, this isn't anywhere near the cross that Jesus was carrying. He was carrying a tremendous weight, and we were called not to carry a small weight, but the challenge of carrying a cross. So Paul reminds us in the early church of how that new community rooted in generous love is to be shaped. And he describes a series of interactions, as we heard, which are life-giving and demonstrate the outpouring of love. Paul helps us to understand, first of all, forgetting about ourselves and putting God first affects the way we behave towards others. I like to think of it being like the Beatitudes. It turns things on its head. It turns the world upside down. Love. Love each other. Not just those close to us as our friends and people we like, but our enemies too. We're not just to treat them well, but pray for them and leave them in God's hands. We're not to think bad thoughts about them. And we are to have no revenge, taking up our cross and following. Not an easy task, and perhaps a challenge. Welcome strangers, not just a few people who come into our church, workplace or school, but perhaps others who often get overlooked. Jesus loved the outcast and people that others did not. Look at how others are feeling. When others are happy to be happy, be happy with them. When they are sad, be sad. We are to live at peace with everyone. Such the community is built and developed. But also, it's a way that is missional and leads to church growth. We're an example of that today. In difficult and uncertain times, we can take up our cross. We can show generous, sacrificial love. We can turn to others, even if we're doing that digitally because we can't be together. And as we slowly, I referred to it the other day as creeping into the new normal, whatever that is, it's become a phrase, and I don't think any of us know what the future looks like. But it's an opportunity for us to think anew about generous, self-giving love, how we might help others, and how we might make our priorities. How following the example of Jesus and listening to the experience of that emerging early church, we can look together to build on our past experience, but develop our life together in a way which brings us hope. Hope to all those we seek to encounter. So just looking at the picture just for a moment, I'm just going to say a prayer. So if you've got your card to hand, looking at the cross or looking at the flame, thinking of Moses. Moses needed to turn to God, and his way was going to be challenging. We know if we continue to read on through Exodus, nothing was straightforward. Moses was called to follow, and we're called to follow. If any of you want to be my follower, you must turn away from your selfish ways, from the things you think you want and need. You must pick up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What is it you need to turn away from in order to follow Jesus more closely? Are there things you may need to give up in order to follow Jesus more closely? What do you hear Jesus calling you to do? Merciful God, help us to turn away from things that do not lead to life, from attitudes and actions that get in the way of our relationship with you, the things that distract us from hearing your voice and doing your will. Open our eyes and our ears to your presence and your call. Give us courage to take up our cross and follow where you lead, even if the path is uncertain or leads in unexpected directions. For you alone are God, and we are your people. Take our lives and use us to your glory. Amen. And we're going to listen now to the words of Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Clothe us in our rightful mind in
Let us pray. To those who carry the cross of persecution and oppression, loving Lord, give strength and courage. To those who carry the cross of anger and abuse, loving Lord, give strength and courage. To those who carry the cross of pain and suffering, loving Lord, give strength and courage. To those who carry the cross of isolation and loneliness, loving Lord, give strength and courage. To those who carry the cross of grief and mourning, loving Lord, give strength and courage. Living and loving God, give wisdom and encouragement to us and to all your children as we seek to take up our cross and to follow you faithfully. Amen. And just thinking about those who we know who need our prayers, let's just be still and bring before God those known to us alone. And we bring before you Chris and Vera, Bruno and Richard. Lord, you know the needs of those we pray for. Lord, we pray your healing and your strength for them. Amen. Amen. As a way to bring our service almost to a close, I was looking for music and happened across the next thing that we're going to look at, which is something that Graham Kendrick has written recently, and it's about showing a little love. He wrote it because he wrote it for this time when he was encouraging people to give to food banks for people who were in need, and I thought it fitted well with our service today, so we'll have a listen to this.
2, 3, 4. A little bit of love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little bit of love, and I'm on my way. A little love, a little love, a long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little bit of love, and the sun comes shining. A little love, a little love, a little bit of kindness and someone smiling. A little love, a little love, a long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love. Little drops of rain can trickle down into a puddle, then the puddles get together, making streams that make a river. The rivers fill the valleys with a roaring and a rushing, then the little drops of rain each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little love.
A little love goes a long, long way. As we draw to a close, let us pray. God, we praise you for your faithful love and for the mercy you have shown towards us. Open our eyes to recognize your presence in our lives. Give us grace to hear your call and courage to follow without hesitation, knowing that your way is the only way that leads to life. May God the Father remove all the stumbling blocks from your path. May God the Son give you the courage to take up your cross. And may God the Holy Spirit empower you to walk with confidence day by day. Amen. And a final hymn I couldn't resist, In Christ Alone.
In Christ Alone. Through the fiercest drought and storm.
So just before our very final blessing, just a few reminders. The offertory basket is at the door as you leave. There is sanitizer on the desk if you wish to use that as you leave. We can only go out, I'm assuming that door over there. I'm seeing the arrows pointing that way. So we're going out via the fire exit over there. And if we can sort of do that in an orderly fashion so we don't cause congestion in the doorway. I'm getting used to that now. We're sort of going out slowly. We normally like to stand and have a chat, but I think we can do that in the car park if we're doing our social distancing and we're out in the fresh air. So I hope I will be able to just say hello to you as you leave, because it feels very strange not being able to shake people's hand and to be a welcome. So just remember, as always, let's keep safe and keep that social distance. And as you leave, a song is going to play, the blessing song, which some of you may have heard. And I was using this as I made the films for the Holiday Club, and I've learnt some actions to this. So I am going to bless you with some actions as well as with some words. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. May you have a blessed Sunday, and amen to all of you. Thank you.